So because of their sinful exercise of their free will, they became slaves to sin, exchanging their birthright for a mess of pottage, as did Israel's brother, their uncle Esau, before them. Yes, Israel's children sold their brother into slavery long before their own descendants were enslaved by the Egyptians. In so departing from the path of freedom, we'll have more to say about this, they departed from the faith and practice of Abraham. In biblical language, which is typology, Egypt is known as the land of darkness. And so we see there was both a spiritual and a bodily going down into Egypt for Jacob's children and their descendants. But the Lord still had a plan. As Joseph later told them, when he was steward of all of Pharaoh's kingdom and had the power to revenge himself upon them, but chose not to, "As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." And Joseph forgave them and provided a place for them out of love. And in this sense, Joseph shows that evangelical love in doing good to those who did ill to him. Not because he was powerless, not because he didn't have the ability to revenge himself, but because he chose love over revenge. And in doing so, saved the people. And we could talk about this more, but we're going to skip that part. So, the origin of our race, the human race, lies in freedom, not in nature. Why do I say that? Why do I say the human race was born in freedom? It is because the beginning of the human race lies not in an act of nature, but in an act of will. God's will. This is actually very important. It's terribly important for us. Scripture and the Holy Fathers tell us that God created not because it is his nature to create, but because he chose to create. That freedom. For this reason, as St. John Chrysostom points out, the highest and most accurate name for God is that which we could not know had he not revealed it to us, and that is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This one God in those three persons. Whereas to refer to God as creator is to refer to an activity. It's not incorrect. God is our creator. But it's an activity. It's what he does. It's not who he is. It's an activity, not his nature. He was under no necessity. God is creator by his free choice. Therefore, all of creation was brought into existence through an act of the divine will. God is free to create or not to create. Why is this so important? Why do I make it sound important? But, you know, because it suggests something very important about who we are. Remember, if we're made in the image and likeness of God, this is the second assertion I'll make, that the human race was meant for freedom, destined to live in freedom. As St. Isidore of Seville, who lived in the 6th and 7th century, kind of straddled, says, "The will of God in creating a thing is its nature." Once again, there's a lot we could say about this in terms of law. The will of God in creating a thing is its nature. I'll just very quickly say concerning this that the law of God, which we understand in Orthodox terms as being the description of how we are to live, is not something external to us, which is imposed upon us. In that sense, God is not a dictator or a tyrant. But rather, it's inside of us, because it is our nature. But part of our nature, as I said earlier, is like that piece of iron. We may glow with divine light, or we may cool. Does this make sense? In the fires of hell? Anyway. We'll let that go for a moment. It is well known by each of you that when God created us, he created us in his own image and likeness. His will became our nature. Just as he had created the angels before us, giving them a nature that was both rational and free. People don't think about that, maybe. So in the beginning, God endowed Adam and Eve with what the early fathers of the church said, such as St. Athanasius the Great, refers to freedom of movement, the term that he uses, but which we today more often refer to as free will or freedom of choice. This is in part what it means to be made in the image and likeness of God. We were given a free will. We are free to love or not to love, free to obey or not to obey. In short, what we're saying is that the freedom of choice is innate in human nature. We do not have to be taught to seek it. However, we are meant to experience our freedom and to preserve it through a right exercise of our will. With freedom comes responsibility, something that is much harder for us to desire in our fallen state. To say that with freedom comes responsibility is to say that choices have consequences. And in our fallen condition, consequences are often what we do not want to face. We're all still teenagers. Thus, we also experience a desire for comfort, that is, to be at ease, to enjoy freedom of movement without the consequences, that is contrary to the spirit of freedom. This is because there is another aspect of human nature that comes from being made in the image and likeness of God. God also gave to Adam and Eve a second, not second in the sense of subsidiary, but another, unique freedom, one which we rarely hear anyone talk about in political discourse. I don't think I've ever heard anybody talk about it. Adam and Eve were created free from sin. The interplay of these two freedoms provide the outline of all human history since the beginning. Freedom of movement or choice and freedom from sin. As St. Athanasius puts it in the work I was mentioning to you, he refers to it as freedom of movement. And he says that the soul, in a sense, he provides, you might say, a way to understand the fall from an individual's point of view rather than in the form of a story, but more from the point of view of experience. He says that the soul becomes confused because being free to choose, being free to move in whatever direction it chooses to move, but not being cognizant of the consequences of the choice, chooses to turn from that contemplation of God, that vision of God, and begins to become involved with, as he puts it, things near at hand. It's much easier. It's much, you know. Personally, it's my belief that this is why Cain killed Abel, because he couldn't kill God. It was much easier to kill Abel. He was right there. Besides, younger brothers are supposed to obey their older brothers. They shouldn't show them up like that. Okay, never mind. So, the soul becomes confused and doesn't recognize or realize the consequences of the action. But in turning from the contemplation of God, this purpose of being created to see God, and turning to the contemplation of things near at hand, we actually participate then in a sin, which is to have a God other than God. To involve ourselves in the worship of things which are not God. And this, you could say, this is this is a description of sin. It's turning away from God. It's that simple. Whatever. Yeah, sorry. I'm not God. God's over there just as much. So that turning away.